Now, Aine Nilauna, a wildlife expert, will be with me shortly. And I know now that Aine is going to tell me, you wouldn't hear a curlew yet, but I do want to draw your attention to the fact that tomorrow, Easter Sunday, is World Curlew Day. And I think I read during the week that 97% of the curlew population has been wiped out. And it was one of the ones we used to learn about as kids. And it was a real, stalwart. If you knew 10 things about wildlife, you knew about the curlew. So Minister Josepha Madigan is asking members of the public to be on the lookout from here on in for sightings or for the sounds of the curlew, and to report any to the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And their website is agri.ecology@chg.gov.ie. So let's have a listen to the plaintive cry of the curlew. Aine Nilauna, welcome.
Thank you very much, Ben. And that's why it's called the curlew, because of its sound. It's saying its name. Curlew, 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 right. Curlew, curlew, indeed. Real sound of a wet July evening in the Gaeltacht.
Yeah. And we won't be hearing curlews yet, no?
Ah, well, 97% decline since the 1980s. Will we hear them at all? 97% since the 1980s. Now, this is not since the 1880s. This is in the last 35 years, which is really an appalling thing to hear, because that song that you're hearing, I mean, we have curlews that come here in the winter time because they're wading birds with long bills and they can't feed in frozen ground in Scandinavia and Eastern European countries, and they come here in the winter time and you see loads of them. And if you go to Ball Island, if you go to any of those wading places, you see them and they're really obvious.
You see, I was walking out the wall a month or two back, and there were what looked like a flock of curlews.
Yeah,
they were curlews.
Big long bills, you can't mistake them for anything. Yeah. But they're coming in as winter visitors. Then the weather gets good, they've all gone away, and we have the breeding curlew, and it's the breeding curlew that we have the decline in. And they're the ones that are looking for mates, that are making the curlew sound. And the thing is, they nest on the ground. And that is the problem, really, because they nest on the ground. The curlew sits on it. She doesn't move. She's lovely, well camouflaged. But the thing is that your nest is exposed to predators such as badgers, foxes, rats, those sort of things. The nest on the ground is subject to flooding and there's been a lot of flooding over the years in the around the Shannon area and places like that. And then, of course, as well, the fewer curlews you are, the less collections of them there are. And, the numbers, the safety in numbers has gone as well. So it's terrible to think that we have such a huge decline. And there's been studies for the last 3 years that Barry O'Donoghue from National Parks and Wildlife has been carrying it out and putting in place then when they know the conservation measures that are going to be needed to try and keep the few we have and maybe get them to increase. But it's awful to think that they're gone to that, and anybody does know that call.
Yeah, extraordinary. Now, you're going to tell us, though, what we are looking out for, existing birds and wildlife, if you're exploring nature with kids over the Easter holidays. So we stick with the birds and the bird song. So
yes, indeed. I was sitting outside this morning before I came in here because it was just a lovely morning, and I was sitting outside having my cup of tea before psyching myself up for this ordeal. And I could hardly speak to my husband, for this great tit was sitting up on the branches just, and I live in the middle of Dublin, and it was giving it welly. And this was really, really good.
Oh, so that's a great tit. Yeah. Everybody
knows
that sound.
Like a squeaky gate. Teacher, teacher, squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Two notes, really easy. Now, the great tit and the blue tit would be birds, and are birds that will nest in nest boxes. And you would think, well, they kind of look the same. One is blue, one is black on the head. But the song is completely different. And, of course, Brendan, it's only the boy birds that sing. The women never open their mouths. Imagine living in a world where women never spoke.
Yeah, but the women don't feel the need to sing, obviously.
No,
the men are the ones overcompensating for everything,
not
as usual.
They say the weather is lovely.
So listen, we don't need to go anywhere to hear bird song. We'll get it around our own house.
This time of year now, it's all go. The leaves are coming on the trees. The creepy crawlies are coming on the leaves, and the birds are looking for women, making nests and sending. And the song of them at this hour of the year is absolutely superb. In fact, we're having our dawn chorus coming up at the beginning of May on the Mooney programme. But the Dawn Chorus doesn't just begin whenever Derek decides to have the programme. The Dawn Chorus is already happening. And with this lovely weather, you can hear them all. I mean, if you think of something like the wren, for example. Now, the wren, there are actually 6 million wrens in Ireland. And a wren is not one that comes to the bird table. The wren is not one that you see on hanging feeders. But you can hear it if you know what to listen for.
Yeah, and that's the wren there.
And you get that thrill at the end. It's a song like any other bird, but a thrill at the end. And the wren is tiny, and he's up there. And you'd wonder, how can he get this huge song out of such a small, tiny bird? And, of course, he's looking for not just one wife, I have to tell you, but several wives, the bold article.
Oh, so the wren is a polygamous bird.
Well, he builds the nest, you see. He builds the nest himself, and then he brings herself around to have a look. And when she decides she'd like this one, she's duly installed. She might even lay 11 eggs. And when she's busy incubating the eggs, he doesn't like to waste the other nest, so he'll have another lady on his arm showing her the next nest. All
so the wren is a deadbeat dad. I did not know that.
But the easiest one, I suppose the easiest bird to hear, the one that you'd know from childhood really, is the blackbird. He comes on chosen evenings, my blackbird bountiful, and sings. Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah. Isn't that real summer's evening?
And that is the sound of a summer's evening.
And indeed summer mornings as well too. So I mean, even to bring your children out, and I think this is something that is really important, and I do this when I bring children out myself. Go outside and close your eyes and listen. And then you see you're cutting out all the visual cues, and you're just concentrating on what you can hear. And then suddenly you can hear a lot more, even in your back garden, even never mind going to a woodland, never mind going out into the field. Just close your eyes and see what you can hear. Because children have extremely good hearing, better than our hearing as we get older. And they can, and then can you hear different ones? And then can you see the bird that's singing? And it's really very hard to see the bird that's singing up on top of a tree, particularly with leaves on it, but you can hear it, and that's the whole point. And that's even that, even doing that little bit is something great to do. Mm. You know, it's taking them and using a different facility. Children nowadays, and indeed ourselves, we use our eyes such a lot. We're such a visual world with our machines and our codes.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Stop.
And just listen.
Stop.
Just listen.
And listen. Listen. And this is all, we get this in our own garden.
Well, if you have a garden, obviously everybody doesn't have a garden. And indeed, if you don't have a garden, there are plenty of parks. And Dublin, inside the M50, has 45% green area. 45% of the area within the M50, where 1 million people live, has green spaces. Our local towns, and they all have places that you can go out with your children. And the job is, we're going out to listen and see, can we hear three birds, four birds? Have a little project, if you like.
And you say as well to show the children what the birds are eating.
Well, yes. Well, that's a great idea, actually. You go armed at your umbrella, and you have to put up with all these smart people who say, oh, you hope you don't get the weather you're expecting. And you have to snootily say, this is a scientific apparatus. And you bring it along, and you go to a tree that has got leaves on it. Like at the minute, the horse chestnuts are all full of leaves because they're the early ones, but any of them. And you put your umbrella upside down, open it up, hold it up by the spike under your tree and shake. And shake it really hard, and the creepy crawlies that are up on the leaves will fall into your umbrella, and then you can see what's going on there, and you'll get green flies, and you'll get spiders, and you'll probably get things eating them, because spiders are carnivores, and so are ladybirds. So you get ladybirds, but there's been a load of ladybirds this year. There seems to have been a good year for them. They're all out of hibernation now. You might get shield bugs, you might get earwigs, you might get all sorts of things up in the leaves, because that's what the birds that are doing all that singing are eating and looking for as well. So obviously the leaves have to be there for a while before the stuff becomes established, but things that have had their leaves, like elder, the hawthorn, these have all had their leaves now for a while, give them a lash and see what falls out of them.
Okay, what about going looking for to see nests?
Well, now, you don't really want to be drawing attention to nests in the sense. You want to sit down and watch what the birds are doing. You see, people don't like magpies, and indeed with great reason. The magpies are predators. They build their nests on the top of tall trees, and we have lots of urban trees, and you see the magpie's nest up there, and then the magpie is keeping an eye out for the smaller birds' nests. He has his nest made first, because what do magpies feed their young on? The young and the eggs of the small songbird. So if you're poking and rooting, the songbirds are really trying to hide their nests away from these nasty magpies.
Right.
So if you're looking for nests, you don't really, because then you're opening, and then the magpies, of course, are in like cleaning. You don't really want that.
And
so
are there a lot more magpies around than there used to be?
Dublin City in particular is extremely attractive towards magpies, because the way we have urban gardens and tall trees and hedges and things. So the little birds are in the gardens, and then the tall trees. You want to get rid of magpies, cut down the trees, which, of course, I'm saying with my tongue firmly in my cheek. You know, what you want to do is be on the side of the small birds and not be poking and looking where the nest is and making it obvious to the watching magpie what's going on.
Okay. Give them a
fighting chance. Don't do that. But what's good to do is go to the parks and have a look at the ducks, the birds that you get on the water. You know, you're going to have ducks, you're going to have gulls, you're going to have swans, you're going to have maybe things that vanish and appear, like little grebe that duck in and come up again. You wonder how they drowned and they're up over there. And things like, say, the tufted ducks, because the mallard just turned upside down and they're dabbling ducks. But the ones with the black and the white sides, they go down and come up somewhere else and you're saying, God, it's gone. And then there it's over there, pop.
Oh, so it's a full dive and swim underwater.
They actually are feeding at the bottom, because they all live in the one place, so they can't be all feeding on the same things because they'd be competing. So there's the dabbling ones with the long necks and the swans with longer necks, and then you have the ones that dive down all together, and you know, and then the coot and the moorhen, and they all quarrel with each other. The coot are the most quarrelsome creatures. They're the fellas with the white heads, blackbirds with a white head, and then the moorhens have got a yellow and red bill, and they're much shyer and more delicate. All of those things, if you stay quiet and take it easy. The trouble is, we have our children so attuned into it. Well, if you didn't see that, just press replay and you can see it again. You can't press replay if you're out for a walk.
You have to have a bit of patience.
Out of the garden and turning over stones is great. Yeah. Underneath the stones you get woodlice, and you get earwigs and you get earthworms and you get all kinds of things, and kids love those as well.
And okay, people are going to start going to the beach from here on in as well, so let's move out to the coast a little bit. What are we looking for on the coast?
Well, on the coast now, at this time of the year, because potatoes is in early spring this year, you're going to get the lovely flowers on the sand dunes, all of these different legumes, things like bird's foot trefoil and new early pansies and things like this. And then, of course, you'll have the butterflies going with those. And even in gardens, you get butterflies. The butterflies are out and about early this year. I mean, they won't fly if the sun isn't shining. And the sun is shining. We've a whole week promised us now for good weather, the whole week. So to be able to see these butterflies is great. And at the beach, you get blue ones, you get white ones, you might get some orange coloured ones. Again, watch, see where they land, have a look at them, and then they land and then they open their wings, because they're showing off too. They're looking for girlfriends as well, and they can't sing, but they can show off their pretty wings, and that's what they're actually doing. So you have your flowers, and then of course you have skylarks. Oh, skylarks are superb, because they, out in areas where there are no trees, nest on the ground and go straight up into the air. Now imagine you walk upstairs puff pants, you can hardly do it. They can actually fly up in the air and sing at the same time, Brendan. Some trick. So wonderful sounds from the skylarks, and you can't mistake them for anything else. And those open spaces, whether it's the sand dunes by the sea or indeed uplands where the heathlands are, you get those lovely, lovely sounds. And you might get the cuckoo if you're lucky as well. Cuckoo's here now.
And people might notice as well, a lot of times, say if I'm driving to Cork or that, around the motorways in the big open spaces, are they birds of prey we're seeing around
there?
Indeed. Sometimes you see a bird and you think,
I presume you're driving and not looking, which our passengers will see things like kestrels there, because kestrels are the birds of prey that hover. So they look as if just, and what they're doing is they're feeding on the field mice and the mice that are on, indeed rats if they can get any, along the edges of the motorway, and they hover. And you think, how can they see a mouse? What they're looking at, you'd be glad to know, is not the actual mouse, but the mouse's urine, because mice are always piddling as they run around, and they can see in ultraviolet light. And they see these blue lines on the ground, which tells you a mouse was there, and down they come. The other one you might see if you're looking out the corner of your eye as you're driving are buzzards. Buzzards are huge big birds. They were extinct because of all the poisons we used, but since strychnine was banned, they've come back from Scotland. And over the eastern half of Ireland, over where we get the farmland, you get these huge big eagle-like birds. You can't believe the bird is so large, and they're buzzards, and they're great as well too. And it's a great thrill to see a bird of prey, because they're the top of the food chain, and they're never going to be common. They can't be by definition.
And something else people will remember from our own childhoods this time of year, kind of frog spawn, tadpoles.
Oh yes, that's great. If you go down, yeah, kids love pond dipping. In fact, if you go down to some of the huckster shops and buy a little net for €1 or €2 on a thing, and a bucket, like the bucket and spade, but just the bucket part, you can go to these places and fish with your net and put them into the bucket, put some water in the bucket first. And if you're at the seaside, you get stuff but if you're on the freshwater areas, you can get your tadpoles, put them back afterwards and have a look at them.
Or you just have a look and put them back.
Oh yeah, but you can look at them. I mean, you know, it's not against the law to look at the tadpoles, fish them out, put them in your bucket. I mean, you're finished looking at them, put them back in again, because it isn't fair to take them home. They're not going to survive in your house anyway.
And listen, there's grey squirrels, but the place is practically overrun with them at this stage. I don't think I've ever seen a red squirrel. Would you ever see one anymore?
We have to be in the right place, Brendan. The grey squirrels were introduced in 1911 into Longford as a present at a wedding. I mean, wouldn't you love it as a wedding present? But they spread all down the East Coast and they outcompeted the red because the grey squirrels were able to eat acorns and things before they were ripe. So big American species take all the food, take all the habitat. No, they didn't interbreed. It wasn't like that. It was a matter of pushing it out, and this was what happened. So that all, when I came to Dublin first 40 years ago, was all red squirrels. Now there's no red squirrels in Dublin at all. In my book Wild Dublin, I have a picture of the red squirrel on the cover, but that book is now in its second edition, and that those squirrels from St Anne's Park are gone. But if you're down in Wicklow, if you're down in the Raven, if you're down in places where there are conifer forests, if you're the far side of the Shannon, they never went across the Shannon. I think they got balked at Porthumna Bridge or whatever. So in the west of Ireland, you will get your red squirrels. And now, of course, the pine marten, which is becoming more common, is putting manners on the grey, because the grey is bigger and easier to catch.
Okay.
So the story isn't over yet.
Yeah, a bit of good news there. In Ilona, there is so much more I could ask you, but we'll talk again, hopefully. Thank you very, very much.
A pleasure to talk to you, Brendan.